The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I'm sitting here trying to make sure that I choose my words carefully. And I mean that. I don't want to misrepresent or jump to conclusions. But I haven't, right now it's in my left hand, a story from yesterday. In fact, it was published last evening, 6:54 p.m., on the website of one of our local TV stations. And I won't mention the name of the station again. I did earlier, but I'm not going to mention it again. And the headline is, Transgender Individuals in Central Ohio Have Hard Time Finding Work. And the story, and it's not a long story, but it's about how hard it is for the LGBT community here in Central Ohio. It's bad. Can't find jobs. They're discriminated against. And it's a very sympathetic article towards the LGBTQ community, particularly transgender. And painting kind of a negative picture about our community and our embrace of transgender, LGBTQ. We've got problems here. It's bad. Okay. Then I have this article that I received today. I'm on the mailing list of everybody. You would not believe how many emails I get every single day. Somehow, I got on the email list for the Human Rights Campaign, HRC. Quote, the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, the educational arm of the nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization. That's how they describe themselves. And I got a news release today from HRC. Again, they call themselves the educational arm of the nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization. And they are releasing a brand new report in partnership with Equality Federation Institute. Today, they have released their 8th annual Municipal Equality Index, assessing LGBTQ equality in 506 cities across the nation, including 8 here in Ohio. All right, now let me read what this says. The Municipal Equality Index, the only nationwide assessment of LGBTQ inclusion in municipal law and policy, shows that cities across the country, including in Ohio, continue to take the lead in supporting LGBTQ people and workers. Remember the article that I read to you from our local TV station? Our local TV station says, LGBTQ workers, bad, bad, it's bad. This is an assessment of cities all across America on how LGBTQ people are treated, quote, even in the face of renewed attacks this year on the LGBT community by federal and state officials. Now I'm quoting from the report. The average score for cities in Ohio is 90 out of 100, which falls far above the national average of 60. A city that gets 90 or above is way above the other cities all across America. Quote, these inclusive and welcoming cities are standing up to the unrelenting attacks on the LGBTQ community by the Trump-Pence administration. Blah, 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 blah. This report on LGBTQ equality at the local level couldn't be more timely. These are critical decisions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So remember the local TV station said it's bad. It's bad. And as the source of their information, I believe they quote three individuals in the entire city. They found three people, transgender people, who said, yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. People make fun of me. I've lost jobs. I can't get work. Nobody will hire me. Three people. On the other hand, I have the largest assessment of the LGBTQ inclusion in 506 cities across America, including several cities in Ohio. Right smack in the middle is Columbus, Ohio. I'm looking at the report. Columbus, Ohio gets, you ready for this? 100 out of 100. Columbus, Ohio gets a perfect score from the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization. Columbus, Ohio gets a 100 out of 100 on how LGBTQ people and workers are treated right here in our city. I don't know about you, but I find that quite interesting. Our local TV station says it's bad. It's bad. Can't get jobs. Discrimination. People getting fired. And the people who actually advocate for LGBTQ rights, civil rights, and so forth gives Columbus, Ohio 100 out of 100. By the way, here are the cities in Ohio. Akron, Ohio, 100. Cincinnati, Ohio, 100. Cleveland, Ohio, 100. Columbus, Ohio, 100. Dayton, Ohio, 100. Dublin, Ohio, 31. Now, why they reported Dublin? Because all of the other cities on here, at least most of the, well, almost all but one, are major cities, not suburbs. But for some reason, they wanted Dublin to look bad. Dublin has 31 out of 100. Lakewood, Ohio, 87 out of 100. And Toledo, 100 out of 100. So getting a perfect score for LGBTQ inclusion is Akron, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton, and Toledo. And yet, if you listen to your local news, you are led to believe that there is enormous outright discrimination, persecution against the LGBTQ community. And the people who are the biggest advocates for this community say, yeah, you know what? Ohio's doing really good. They rated 506 cities, including all 50 state capitals, the 200 largest cities in the U.S., the five largest cities or municipalities in each state, the cities home to the state's two largest public universities, 75 municipalities, and so on and so on and so forth. It assesses each city on 49 criteria covering citywide non-discrimination protections policies for municipal employees, city services, law enforcement, city's leadership on LGBT equality, and so on. It's a lengthy report. Yeah, just be careful when you listen to the news. Almost all of it has an agenda and a bias. It's not just reporting the news. They're making a point. When we come back, wow. What students in a Colorado high school were subjected to without parental approval? Yeah, you need to hear this one. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, the impeachment hearings are in recess. Evidently, they're going to continue into the evening. They have called for a recess. They're going to come back. To be honest, I don't know whether the same two witnesses are going to come back or whether they're done with them. But the Democrats are desperately looking for a smoking gun. I got news. It's a BB gun, and it's not even loaded. Serious. I just pulled up CNN to see, you know, because they're just waiting breathlessly for, again, a smoking gun. They are desperately, breathlessly looking for some statement from these witnesses that will nail Donald Trump. Nothing. Volcker changed his mind on Biden. That's the big headline right now at CNN. That proves nothing. So, another nothing burger has been served up in the impeachment hearings. And once again, may I tell you, if I hear something that looks like, ooh, this is trouble for Donald Trump, I will absolutely say, ooh, this looks like trouble for Donald Trump. I will. But so far, nothing. A terrible embarrassment for the Democrats. Terrible embarrassment. All right. This story out of Colorado is very, very disturbing. And if this was just one tiny little isolated case, it'd be one thing. But this kind of thing is happening all over the country. A teacher at a Colorado high school, Steamboat Springs High School. Know a little bit about Steamboat Springs. One of our grandsons lived there for a couple of years. He's a teacher, and he teaches music literature. Okay? His name is Ryan Ayala, A-Y-A-L-A. He teaches music literature at Steamboat Springs High School. Well, he had an assignment where the class was to study the poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg. I'm not familiar with that poem, but evidently it's pretty it's pretty profane from what I can gather. Anyway, as part of the assignment, the students were told to fill in the blanks concerning this poem, which evidently has been set to music. I don't know. I'll gladly admit my ignorance here. And some of the words where the students had to fill in the blanks were the most profane, obscene cuss words, curse words, imaginable. The worst, the very worst of the profane, obscene words in the English language. And the students had to fill in the blanks. So in other words, they were required to fill in profane, obscene words as a part of this assignment. parents were not notified, the students were not warned, and parents are flipping out. Here's the story. A Colorado high school is under fire for assigning sexually explicit material which contained vulgar language and passages about sexting with minors without parental consent. Brett Kaysen, the father of Skyler, a 16-year-old student at Steamboat Springs High School, was shocked when his daughter told him about the sexually charged graphic assignment she had in her music literature class. Ryan Ayala, the teacher who crafted a lesson around the poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg, apologized in a lesson to the Kaysens, saying it was the most offensive material covered in his class after he didn't get parental consent requiring students to fill in the blanks such as, and other lewd language. The poem, now get this, the poem was in a book approved by the school board, but it had the words considered offensive censored. They were marked out. Get this. The school board approved the book, but had censored, marked out the graphic, profane, lewd words. So this teacher forced the students to write out words that the school board themselves had censored. Well, the most troubling thing of all in this whole thing is First Liberty sent a letter to the district asking for an apology to parents and training so the policies that the school has in place would be followed. The teacher has issued an apology, but there is no discipline whatsoever for the teacher. None. No discipline for the teacher whatsoever. School board wrote, "We do believe that what occurred this fall was simply an oversight as a result of not understanding the policy. We regret if members of our community were offended." But evidently there is no discipline whatsoever for the teacher. None. I mean, there was an apology, but you would think something that graphic, something that profane. You add that to what Planned Parenthood is presenting in sex education courses, and it is worse than shocking. Our public school system is in such deep trouble in America. All right, I am so grateful that you spent some time with us today, and I mean that sincerely. I never, ever want to take you folks for granted. I appreciate you. I appreciate your emails, your communication, your encouragement. And when I say I hope you have a great evening, I mean that. And also, when I say this, I mean it as well. Wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.